Welcome to the stage, Mr. Justin Jacobs. Woo!
Introduction. Horrible. You know, they tell you that the drink is gonna suck, so when you taste it, you're like, it's not that bad. It's pretty good, actually, right? If they had said it's the most amazing drink in the world, you'd be like, I don't think so. So now when I get done, they're gonna go, is that good? What is that? That's crazy, right? I love these two guys. Like, I love listening to Joe and the other guy, Chubby Talk. These guys, I could listen to them talk all day long because they're so sincere, they're so real. And you know, it's just such a breath of fresh air. In the last company we were with, we had an owner that when he would speak, it was like fingernails on a chalkboard. It was like, you know what I'm talking about? Like, it was like somebody else's kid throwing a temper tantrum and they won't stop it. You know what I mean? It was just awful. This guy would put himself on stage just to stroke his own ego, and it was just a train wreck. I mean, you know, and then these corporate guys put themselves on stage just, and it was just, the last time they came to Minnesota, he sent me the agenda, and he had himself speaking like half of the day. And I had had enough. I called him up and I said, look, throw that agenda in the trash and don't even bother coming. We'll just do our own thing. He's like, what do you mean? I go, nobody wants to hear you talk, man. Like, you're a corporate guy and we don't care what you have to say. Just stop talking, please. And, you know, we were screaming at each other on the phone and he finally said, fine, do your own thing. And then he called me back 30 minutes later. He said, look, we'll do whatever. We'll come and do whatever agenda you want. So I called Randy. I go, what do I do? He goes, just let him open and then we can take the rest of the day. So I let him open. He's 20 minutes into his talk and I'm texting Randy going, look, we got to just give everybody their money back. He's ruining the entire day. We're losing people, but they can't sleep because his voice is so annoying. They can't even take a nap while he's talking. You know what I mean? So, I mean, just to have some owners, here's what I love. These guys are one of us. That's what I love about this whole thing so much is that these guys come from the field, they're one of us. They're not a corporate guy, they're not looking, you know, one of the things that Richard said to me early on, he goes, you know, this brain senses, I go, that's our baby, right? I mean, he's like, yeah, that's our baby. He goes, we don't make any money on it, but man, it's a good product. I go, what do you mean you don't make any money on it? He goes, look, we can't make any money on it. He goes, we weren't willing to cheapen it, like the last company.
Yes.
We weren't willing to cheapen it. So he goes, it's the original formula from 30-some years ago. It's the best you can possibly make it. But he goes, we have to hit a certain price point in the marketplace, so we just call it a loss leader. No owner in this business does anything as a loss leader. That's a Walmart thing, right? Nobody in network marketing goes up with a loss leader. That's insane. But these guys get it. Right? Reset that clock. I haven't started yet. I haven't even opened my notes yet, guys. Just reset that clock. This is crazy. I've always been one of those guys that just wanted to write my own ticket, you know? I started my own lawn mowing business when I was 13 years old. I mean, anything I could do, I had a lemonade stand. We lived right by the fairgrounds. So I sold stuff every single year. As long as I could remember as a kid, I was like, there's millions of people walking by my front door, I'm gonna go sell them stuff, you know? So I just was always one of those guys that wanted to write my own ticket, and I got introduced to this industry when I was, I think, 18 years old. I had a very similar story to Joe's, actually. But I got involved with this industry when I was 18 years old. One of my roommates came home, and he introduced us to a company called Excel Telecommunications. And I'm telling you, at 18, this guy showed us how we could sell a long distance service to our friends, and every time they made a long distance phone call, we would get a commission, and I was like, game over. What else is anybody gonna do? Like, who's gonna wash cars, and who's gonna run the banks, and everybody's just gonna do this. This is the craziest. People make money. Some people don't even know what long distance is, right? Yeah. Barely, but he'd be like, what are you talking about, man? Right? But you know, we got into that company, and then you know, a couple months later, everything's going good, but somebody would show us another network marketing company, we'd go, whoa, that one's way better, and we'd jump into that one, and then somebody would come by with another one, and we'd go, whoa, that one's looked really good, we'd jump into that, we didn't know what we were doing, we didn't have mentorship, we were just kids that were excited about making money, being entrepreneurs, you know, and I ended up in the A-word business, you know, wow. I ended up in that one. And very similar to Joe, for the first time in my life, I had mentorship. I had a system. I had training. I had personal development. Guys, this was stuff that I never knew. I was probably in my mid-20s when I got into that company. And all of a sudden, I'm learning stuff that I've never learned in my entire life, right? I've actually got somebody, you see, because my entire life, somebody was always telling me what I should do. You know, I had people telling me what I should do. And all of a sudden, I had people for the first time in my life saying, let's do this together. We'll help you. We'll coach you. We'll train you. They weren't looking at me from where I was at. They were looking at me from where my potential was. You know? And man, I devoured it. I loved being in that environment. I loved having people around me that would encourage me and not tell me all the time what I was doing wrong, but they would constantly uplift me. And I got so addicted to that environment, I would just go to everything. I just wanted to be a part of everything, because every time I went, there was uplifting people, and they were encouraging, and they were friendly, and even when you'd meet people in the hall, I'd go to events, and there'd be 30,000 people, and yet every person you'd meet guys in the back, in the restroom, and they were all so nice and friendly and complimentary, and I just loved that environment, and I started learning principles of success, right? And here's the crazy thing about it. You couldn't make any money in that company, at least when I got in. It was brutal, right? But I started to apply all of these success principles in my life. I started talking right. I started speaking right. I started reading books. I started saying where I was going, not where I was, right? And even though I didn't make any money in that company the 10 years I was in it, I had spent my career in construction. And all of a sudden, I'm speaking how much money I'm going to make next year. And all of a sudden, I'm making it, but I'm making it in construction, right? I started speaking where I was going. I started speaking things that were weird for a 26-year-old in construction, like, I'm going to make $1 million a year. And guess what? It actually happened. All of a sudden, I'm making $1 million a year in construction. So very much like Joe, that company changed my life. It changed everything about who I am, who I was, and I gotta get into my notes here and actually work on this talk. Where are we going with this, Justin? You know? So anyways, we got a whole lot of companies we went through, and you know, we finally landed on Avisay, and we thought this was gonna be the holy grail, right? Like Randy Haugen's involved. And we walked away from a company we were doing pretty well in to be a part of that whole deal. And they said everything right. Yep. Yeah. They said everything right. Yeah. And we thought this was going to be the deal. And every time we'd get it going, every time, you guys know, you know, Midwest team knows. I mean, we had some explosive periods in that thing. And it was like every time this thing started to blow up, they'd make a decision and change the whole deal on us. And it would just take us out at the knees. And I was like, they're saying the right things, but they've never been where we're at. They don't know what these guys know, right? They're crippling us and what we're trying to do. And so 5 years of that train wreck, and I was on the phone with Randy Haugen, and I said, look, I said, I'm done, man. I can't do this anymore. I've been doing this since I was 18 years old. That was a long time ago. It's funny, my wife called me last week, and she was filling out applications for our new passports. She goes, hey, I got to put your hair color down. And I go, I'm blonde, honey. And she goes, I don't think you're blonde. I go, okay, brown. There's only three colors, blonde, brown, and red. Not red, so just put brown. She's like, I think I need to put gray. I go, fine, whatever, put gray, that's terrible, right? So I'm talking to Randy, all right, I go, but I'm done, I just can't do this anymore, this has just been a roller coaster, and I go, I've got a very successful career, I'm just going to ride it out, I'll put all my focus on that, it'll be good, right? Randy Haugen said to me back on the phone, he goes, you know what, I'm done too. I will never promote another company to another human being, ever.
Never say never.
I go, I love you, man. Let's stay in touch. Who knows, right? Hung up the phone. 2 days later, I get a call from Randy Haugen. No, a text. Hey, you don't want to hear this anymore than I want to tell you, but I think we might have found a new home. It looks really good. Let me know if you want. I go, we had an agreement, man. Like, we had a deal. This is 248 hours you're going to make it without jumping into something new. So, you know, we've got a big team. We got a lot of people that are disgruntled and displaced. I go, let's, we got to at least tell the team what's going on, right? And darn it, Joe gets on the call in front of the team, and they just fall in love with Joe, and the team's super fired up. They're super jacked out of their minds after listening to Joe talk for half an hour. They're like, oh, we're doing this. We're doing this, you know? So here we go again, right? And it's funny because when you've been in the industry this long, you've got people that have never been in the industry with you that are in your life. You've got all the people that have been with you through a lot of these. And you got you people, right? So you got you people are my favorite because you're just like the dreamers. They're like, hey, we're just going to keep going, right? We're going to fight. We're going to keep chasing our dream. I'd rather be in this thing than not in this thing. I just like being around this environment, you know? And then you got the people that have been with you, and then they don't want to follow you again, right? Because they say things like, well, you know, the last one didn't work out, so I'm not going to take the journey on the last one. And I look at them, and I go, huh? The last one didn't work out, so you're not going to do this one? What is that? Like, what in your life is working out so great that you don't need anything else, right? Like, is the job that great all of a sudden? Like, hey, the last one didn't work out. I've never had a job that worked out that great. In fact, I'll tell you my home life story. High school didn't work out that great. They kicked me out my halfway through my junior year and said, you can't be here anymore. So my mom is, you know, the secretary to the president of the Christian university locally, and she pulls some strings and gets me into post-secondary. I lasted one quarter before they kicked me out. That's a free ride to a $30,000 a year university, and I got kicked out the first semester, right? So then I go start a bunch of companies on my own. None of those worked out because I had no idea what I was doing. I ended up working for a company called Midwest out of the North Metro here. They're a little ma-pa, $2 million company. That's the company I was with when I got into Amway and started really learning how to be successful in life. We took that company in 4 years from $2 million to $24 million, and my contract with them was I was paid a percentage of what we increased the company, right? Well, guess what? You're the owner of a company, and you're paying some 26-year-old kid $1 million a year. Guess who's the first one to get cut? The 26-year-old kid you're paying $1 million a year, right? Out the door, buddy. So I got recruited by a company out in the West Metro called All-Star. I started a division of the company for them, you know, we took that from zero to $8.5 million a year after 3 years, and that same contract, right? Like, I want a percentage of whatever I create for the company, and they agreed to it on the front end, kind of chuckling. It's like, we don't have to pay this guy anything on the front end, right? Well, the third year, I made more money than the owner of the company, and they were like, immediately, we had an emergency meeting January 4th, right? Like, bud, you can't make more money than the owners. Like, that's insane. So, you know, that didn't work out so good. You know, what worked out? What's working out so good that you wouldn't want to chase something worthwhile? You know, I'm finally on my own construction company. And we have to do $4.5 million in 2020 before I even make a penny. Just exhausting thinking about it, man. I can't even. $500, I get $600 with the product in this thing, and we're off and running to the races. I think I made $1,500 my first month. I didn't know what was going on. I mean, it's so much more profitable than anything I've ever done before in my life. And 16 minutes. Okay, so we're gonna move forward here with this. I gotta get through some of this.
You're good.
We're good.
You're good. Don't worry.
I'm gonna tell you something. People go, my best friend in the whole world, he works for me. We were at each other's weddings 25 years ago. I love him to death, but he hates this industry. And he looked at me the other day and goes, why do you keep doing those things? You're so successful on other stuff. Why do you keep doing those things? You know what I mean? And I look back and I go, man, this industry shaped who I am. And at the end of the day, gang, I can use everything I've learned in this industry and I can go be wildly successful. Really, gang, I'm telling you the truth. If you take what you learn in this business, in this industry, you can go be successful in anything you want to do.
Right?
Yeah. But man, it is lonely at the top. And the greatest joy that I've ever found in my life is teaching people what I've learned from this industry and then watching them change their lives with it. That's what I love the most about this industry, you know? I learned principles of success in this industry like, listen to this one. You can use people to build your business, or you can use your business to build people. Yep. Those are the two options in any business that you're doing, any business whatsoever. Albert Schweitzer puts it this way. He says, our lives become harder when we live for others, but they become richer and happier. I don't know what your destiny will be, but I do know that the only ones happy and fulfilled around you will be those that have learned how to serve. Yep. Right? I learned the power of positive expectation.
Yes.
You know? Yes. I mean, my wife, you're talking about, interview my wife. We've been together for 25, 6 years now. And she, I'm supposed to know the exact amount. I realize that, right? If you're not here, we're going to move on. I get the front row parking spot every single time I park in a parking lot. It is uncanny, gang. And you ask my wife, she'll tell you, this is absolutely true. I got here at like 9:55 this morning, and I kid you not, I pulled in, I was whistling because I knew. Immediately, that front car pulled out, and I got the very front parking spot. My wife can't even believe it. Every time it happens, I look at her, and I go, right? I expect it. I'm telling you, that's the deal, right? I learned the laws of sowing and reaping. I learned that you have to give in order to receive. You know, people just, they don't give out of your lack and watch what abundance comes. I remember sitting with my mentor one time and I go, man, he goes, hey, we're going to go do this charity event for Christmas. It's all day Saturday afternoon. I don't even remember what it was. And I looked at him and I go, bud, I'm too busy for that stuff. I'll just write a check. And he looked at me and he goes, you're too busy. And I go, yeah. He goes, maybe that's because you never give any time. You got all the money in the world, but because you're giving, writing checks freely with all your abundance. And he goes, maybe it's because you never give any time. And that hit me, right? Because I thought, man, I'm just writing the checks. I'm that guy. But I have no time. I'm just working 16 hours a day, right? So the laws of sowing and reaping. I learned the laws of unity. C.S. Lewis says, true friends face in the same direction toward common projects, interests, and goals. Unity, gang, that is the foundation of where we're at today. The people that are in this room today, the people that are going to go to this conference in Utah, the unification of us, that's what's going to drive this thing home. Peter said this, finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. The psalmist said, behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell together in unity. Unity is so powerful. The book I read says that when two or more people come together, that's where the power's at, right? I learned the power of the spoken word. Psycho-Cybernetics, great book, complicated read, but he says this, is the essence of the book. He says, when you speak something out of your own mouth, he goes, your mind can't differentiate if it's true or false. You say something dumb to me, my mind can go, that's dumb. That's not true, right? But when you say it, gang, your mind has no ability to differentiate if you're telling the truth or not. So be careful what you say. Be careful what you speak. I learned the power of the spoken word. King Solomon himself said, both death and life are in the power of the tongue. I learned the power of thought. Yeah. The power of thought. Now, this is the most powerful of all the powers, right? Earl Nightingale. This is that one thing that all philosophers, wise men, everybody that's smart since the beginning of time understands this law right here. And it's a weird one. It's a weird one. But I want you to listen to just some of what great men from the past have said. Earl Nightingale, the strangest secret is that we become what we think about most of the time. Napoleon Hill, whatever the mind of man can conceive and bring itself to believe it can achieve. You realize Napoleon Hill devoted his life to studying the wealthiest people on the planet, and that's probably his most famous quote, is that whatever, the strangest thing is that whatever the mind of man can conceive and believe it can achieve. Henry Ford said, whether you think you can or think you can't, you're right. Marcus Aurelius said, a man's life is what his thoughts make of it. Disraeli said, everything comes if a man will only wait. A human being with a settled purpose must accomplish it, and nothing can rest a will that will stake even existence for its fulfillment. Ralph Waldo Emerson, a man is what he thinks about all day long. William James, the greatest discovery of my generation is that human beings can alter their lives by altering their state of mind. Jesus puts it this way, everything is possible if you believe. I don't think I'm the first one to say that today. But he brings it home with this comment right here. He says, truly I tell you. Now, Jesus is going to kick off any talk with, truly I tell you. You know, it's kind of like saying, look, listen up, this is going to be good, right? You want to pay attention to this one. If anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself in the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, listen to this, it will be done for them. Man, that's got to be one of those powerful lines in all that whole book. You know what I mean? It will be done for them if they don't doubt and they believe 100% in their heart. Listen, action alone doesn't produce results gain. Action with the right emotion does. We love the idea of a new year. I mean, here we are, January 2020. It's a new year. It's a changing of the clock. And you know why we love it so much? Because it gives us a reason to draw a line in the sand and start fresh. Isn't that true? Yes. Nobody diets in December. No. Nobody. Right? We love January 1 because, man, draw that line in the sand. Everything I just did over the holidays, we're just going to start fresh in January, right? But the change, yeah, right. If the first is on a Saturday, you don't start on Monday. It's January 3rd at that point. Yeah. Nobody starts a diet on a weekend. That's for sure. Right? She's whispering up here. We can start on tomorrow. We can start on Monday. The changing of the clock does not produce newness of life. I want you to understand that. It's the transforming of your mind that does. Okay? Most people quit their New Year's resolutions in 21 days. We all know that. What's the date? 23rd? Yeah, so most of us are done, right? Who's stuck with it? Nobody. Not one hand in the whole. Who's stuck with their New Year's resolution? That's unbelievable. I'm still on mine, so I'm feeling pretty good. But I wrote the talk, so I had to stick with mine. You know why people quit getting? People quit because of lack of vision. Man without vision shall perish. Vision is the art of seeing the invisible. The man who don't make the vision makes the man. That's Pastor Cho. Mark Twain said, I can teach anybody how to get what they want out of life. The problem is, I can't find anybody who can tell me what they want. Mm-hmm. I think that's such a true statement, gang. You ask most people what they want, they can't tell you. They have no idea. They're just going through the motions. They're just trying to get to the weekend. Yep. Isn't that true?
Yes.
Most people have no idea. Winston Churchill said, the empires of the future are empires of the mind. Helen Keller said, the most pathetic person in the world is someone who has sight and no vision. John Scully says, the future belongs to those who see possibility before they become obvious. Christopher Reeve said, so many of our dreams seem impossible, then improbable, then inevitable. And here's what it takes, gang. It takes vision, it takes intention, because vision without intention is just a wish. Am I right? Vision, intentions, and then a means. You've got to have some sort of a vehicle to get there. Okay? I want to tell you about my friend Blake. Blake's a great guy. Blake's one of those guys that you just love to be around. I always look forward to seeing Blake. And I met Blake about 10 years ago. 10, 12 years ago I met Blake. I was working for that company out of the West Metro, and the owners had called me into their office, and they said, hey, bud, we want you to start a new division of the company, remodeling homes. This hedge fund came into town called Invitation Homes, and they're buying thousands of property and they need contractors. We're going to start a division and go remodel homes for them. And I looked at him, I said, that's great, but I don't know how to do that. Like, I've never remodeled homes. I'm a roofing guy. I know how to put a roof on, but I don't know how to do a kitchen or a bath or any of the stuff you're asking me to go do. So I don't know if I'm the right guy to start the division, you know? And they go, no, don't worry, just call this guy. This guy can do anything. He'll you guys figure it out, right? So they gave me the number of this guy, Blake. So I call this guy, Blake, and I go, hey, Blake was like a 25-year-old kid at the time. So I call Blake, and I go, hey, we got a lot of homes remodeled. I'm told you can do anything. Blake goes, oh, yeah, anything. I can do anything. I go, great, let's go to work. So I met Blake, and Blake and I remodeled hundreds of houses that summer. right? Blake knew everything there was to know about working on homes. I asked Blake, can you do this? Electrical, plumbing, kitchens, baths, it didn't matter. Blake could do anything, right? So fast forward 10 years and hundreds of houses later, and I'm on a job site with Blake and his guys on a late into a night. They were working late, I was working late. I picked up some burgers for everybody. We're sitting around eating burgers and fries, and we're reminiscing about the early days, 10, 12 years ago when we were doing these invitation homes, and Blake just busts out laughing. And he's just busting the gut, and I go, what is so funny? He goes, I shouldn't tell you this, but he goes, we had no idea what we were doing back then. I go, what? What? He goes, yeah, but we had no idea what we were doing. I go, I'm being asked to do like stuff I have no idea what I'm doing on the basis that you know what you're doing, and now I find out you had no idea what you're doing? He's like, no idea. We had never remodeled homes before. I go, how did you do all those houses? He goes, YouTube, man. He goes, I'm just glad none of them burned down. That's what he says. YouTube, man. And I'm thinking about that, and I'm going, we got to be more like Blake, right? We get so hung up with needing to know all the answers and be super polished and say the right things and having the right script to say on the phone. But at the end of the day, you just got to go figure it out, man. Right? I mean, isn't that the people that are the most successful in this industry? They just don't let fear stop them. I'll tell you the one thing about Blake is Blake was absolutely fearless. I'd give him anything to do on a house and he would say, he never said no. Never once did he say no. Somehow he always got through it. Whether he had to call somebody to help him out, his upline, or whether he had to call a plumber, or whether he had to, he just figured it out. YouTube it, Google it, whatever it took. If a storm hit, if a hailstorm hit, Blake would be the first one to call me and go, hey boss, I'm going to go knock on doors. Nobody calls you and asks to go knock on strangers' doors these days. You know what I mean? Nobody wants to do that, but the guy was just fearless. I brought Blake to hear Randy Haugen speak one time, and then we went out to eat afterwards. This is his first time ever seeing this guy, and Randy's a big deal, right? We go out to eat, and Blake sat right next to Randy Haugen and talked to him for an hour and a half. Just completely fearless. And he's one of those guys that you just always look forward to seeing, because I could get really mad at Blake. Like, Blake screwed up a lot. I could get really mad at Blake. But he's one of those guys that I just always look forward to seeing, because he always made me laugh. He was always the fun-loving guy in the room. You couldn't stay mad at him for more than 2 minutes. And he made you feel like you were the king of the world. Every time I was with Blake, Blake made me feel like he was my biggest fan. And isn't that who we want to be to our teams? Don't we want our teams to feel like that? Like they all. You don't want your team to feel like, oh man, I gotta go see Justin again. He's gonna whoop on me. You don't want your team acting like that. You want your I want my team to be like, I can't wait to see Justin, because when I leave Justin, I feel so good about me, about who I am. You know what I say? I'll tell you what, Wednesday was a great day. I had the privilege of and the honor of speaking at Blake's funeral. Aww. And Blake was 37 years old. He had a massive heart attack the Wednesday before, early in the morning. And you know, you're sitting in a funeral and you're speaking and there's 50 people in the room, and this young 37-year-old man with all the potential in the world is just, you know. And I'll tell you what, gang, you reflect in that situation. We're never given the privilege of the big picture. Yeah. None of us knows. Mm-hmm. Martin Luther King said, life's most persistent question is, what are you doing for others? Mm-hmm. You know, Helen Keller once said that all we have once enjoyed, we can never lose. All we can have deeply, all that we deeply love becomes a part of us. The wealthiest place, that's a different line, sorry. All we deeply love becomes a part of us, you know? And I'll close with this. I love this poem by Edgar Lee Masters. He wrote it in 1916, but he says this. He says, I have studied many times the marble which was chiseled before me. A boat with a furled sail at rest in a harbor. In truth, it pictures not my destination, but my life. For love was offered me, and I shrank from its disillusionment. Sorrow knocked at my door, but I was afraid. Ambition called at me, but I dreaded the chances. Yet all the while, I hungered for meaning in life. And now I know that we must lift the sail and catch the winds of destiny, wherever they drive the boat. To put meaning in one's life may end in madness. But life without meaning is the torture of restlessness and vague desire. It is a boat longing for the sea and yet afraid. You want to know why I still build this kind of a business? You want to know why I'm in this thing again? It's because, gang, I'll tell you right now, people do not need a handout in this country. They need hope, and they need somebody who believes in them. Yes. That's what people in this country need. And I'll tell you what, there's too many people out there that are like the boat, longing for the sea and yet afraid. And they need somebody that's willing to come breathe hope into that life, and encouragement, and uplifting, and give them a good book, and give them a good audio, and invite them to an event like this, and just tell them that they can be more than they realize they can be. You know? I love this business so much because, you know, I get a message from a guy like Lee Sage, and I save that, I've got it saved somewhere. But, you know, Lee Sage just leaves me a message out of the blue one day, and he's bawling on the message, and he's like, "You saved my life. You literally saved my life." Those are the moments I build this business for. I build this business for moments like finding my son's journal open on the kitchen counter, and I start reading it, which I shouldn't do, but I did it. And I'm reading through, and he says, "Hey, my dream is to speak on stages with my dad and cut audios to change people's lives because my dad is my role model."
Wow.
That's why I build businesses like this. You know, when the other company failed on us and we had a year gap there when we just kind of flailing in the wind. My son's 20 years old. He's making 85 grand a year selling appliances. And he came to me and goes, "Dad, can I work for you?" And I go, "You want to work for me?" I go, "You don't know anything about construction. You're 20 years old making 85 grand a year. You're living the dream, bud." He goes, "No, I want to work for you." And I said, "I'll pay you 40 grand a year to learn. Half." And he said, "Done." You know, he just wants to hang out with his dad, man. That's why I'm a hero to my son, not because of anything I've ever done in construction, but because of what we've accomplished in this business, the lives we've been able to change in this business, you know. So here we are, gang. Common sense worldwide. I don't know. You don't know, right? I don't know if this is the end all, but I'll tell you this. It looks pretty good right now, doesn't it? Everything's in place, the foundation's set, the comp plan's unbelievable, the products are life-changing, the owners are one of us. But I'll tell you this, gang, a new business does not create new results. Do you understand what I'm saying right now? For this thing to do what it can do, and Tyler said it earlier, this thing could be the greatest launch in the history of the industry. I really believe that. I know Tyler really believes that, right? It's going to, but you know what it's going to take for that to happen? This team needs to become unified, have each other's back, and make it happen, because a new business does not create new success any more than a new car creates new experiences. You put the old person in the new car, it's the same old experience, gang. If you put the same person from the old business into the new business, it's the same result. It doesn't matter how good the owner is. It doesn't matter how good the product is, and it doesn't matter how good the comp plan is. You need to renew your minds in order for us to take this where it has the potential to go.
Amen.
We need to commit to each other that we're going to read 15 minutes a day. And if you're not reading 15 minutes a day, you are letting your team down. You need to listen to audios every day. And here's the thing. People read thinking it's going to change you. You don't read to change you. You read while putting in the action. Right? You face your fears. You become fearless like Blake. And this thing could be bigger than any of us ever dreamed possible, gang. That's it.
Justin Jacobs! Wow. Well, I hope every one of you got value for your time spent here today. I certainly have, and you know, we started with an idea, and we started with a plan, and we started working on that idea and that plan, and we got about halfway down the road, and necessity said, "Now, not later." And I'm incredibly grateful first of all, for Richard and Carol for stepping up, coming out of retirement, breathing life into me. Each one of you for being willing to take action again. Right? I know we've all been through stuff. But what I feel after being in this room today and hearing every one of you, common sense went from an idea to having a heart. And if we'll take the heart of what this company can be, individually, every one of us is weak, but unified, like Justin just shared, we're incredibly strong, and I believe we can fill stadiums all across this country, and we can bring common sense back to a world that has totally lost it.
Yep.
Yes.
All right, so I want to thank every one of you for being here. We'll stick around, answer questions if any of you need anything, but thank you. Do you want to say any words, my friend?
No, just thank you, everybody. We sure do appreciate you.
We appreciate you.
You're the best, brother.
Awesome job, guys.
Thank you. Anybody wants to stick around for a few minutes and answer questions? Plus, we're going to tear down, and I know you all love us. You love Joe. I'm an old man. He has to do all the work. Anyway, thank you so much. Appreciate everything.
Thank you.